Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, January 3rd, 2020. Happy New Year and welcome back to this podcast. I appreciate y'all listening along today. Hope everyone had a great holiday season and a great Happy New Year. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today and a little bit veering kind of from normal kind of protocol here on the show because there's a lot of shows that didn't run that we normally talk about, but I'm still going to throw some extra stuff in there. We got some predictions. We got, of course, results, and I have two recommended shows on IWTV this week to kind of make up for it. So let's talk about the topics, then jump right in. So on this edition of The Weekender, we have results for MLW Fusion. That happened on the 23rd. So last week, if you missed it, I did a an award show for the best of 2020, and I didn't really go over results last week, and I talked a whole lot about Brody Lee, of course, with, you know, the tragic passing of Brody Lee, real name John Huber, last week and all that. So, you know, and also because of that, there's no Being the Elite this week to really talk about, although I do highly recommend y'all check out the latest episode. It was a tribute show for Brody Lee, really, really well done, and I recommend watching that, but don't really have much to review there as far as, you know, for this podcast, because it was basically a tribute show and a highlight compilation of Brody Lee and all the stuff he did with Dark Order on Being the Elite. So highly, highly, highly recommend checking it out. But on top of the results for Fusion from the 23rd, I'm going to give you predictions for King of Coliseum, which is going to be coming up really soon this week. So we'll be talking about that. I'll give you predictions for that show. We have two nights of results for Game Changer Wrestling, GCW. They had their Good Riddance show and their 56 Night shows. Both of those happened over the weekend, so I got results for both of those. We have results for the latest 205 Live episode that happened on the 1st of this year. We have results for the Ring of Honor show that happened on the 28th. And I'm going to give you Impact Wrestling Genesis predictions because similar to like a lot of these other companies, Impact just ran a bunch of like best ofs the last couple weeks, so no new results to talk about, but I will give you my predictions for Genesis, because I'm really looking forward to that show. A lot of interesting concepts with that, a lot of great talent, so great stuff to talk about there. But before I get into all that stuff, as always, I have my recommended shows to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and this week I'm giving you two of them. So the first one is actually something from 2012 that's available now on IWTV. Is a Brody Lee shoot interview from 2012. It was done by Smart Mark Video, who do incredible work all across the board. They just really, really, I can't say enough good things about Smart Mark Video and what they've done, especially for independent wrestling over the years. And I recommend checking that out. Obviously, there's not a whole lot for me to, I don't want to spoil anything, any of the conversation points or anything like that. So just check it out. It's a great insight into Brody Lee as a person and as a wrestler and as, you know, a family guy and all that stuff. So really, really think you should check that out. Once again, that's the Brody Lee shoot interview, and that's from 2012, available right now on independentwrestling.tv. And my recommended show to watch as far as, you know, new shows that have come out recently on the platform, I'm going to give the nod this week to New South's Dump Sanders Holiday Special. So the company is called New South Pro Wrestling. The show is the Dump Sanders Holiday Special. This happened back on December 19th of this past month. And if you want to check this out, these are the matches to expect. We had Bailey Blake taking on Sean Campbell, Nolan Edward taking on Jordan Oliver, Kenzie Page taking on Jaden Newman, a Dirty Santa match between Sean Christopher and Kevin Ryan. We had a Candy Cane Battle Royal featuring students of the New South Academy, the training school there, the New South Academy. And in the main event, we had Kung Fu Donnie Janella, Tyler Franks, and a mystery partner taking on the Cordage, the team of Derek Neal, Adam Priest, and Stephen Michaels. So I'll highlight some talent here for y'all. Bailey Blake starting off. He had that match with Sean Campbell in the opener. Bailey Blake, someone who I think has a ton of talent. I think it's kind of cool how he's clearly so inspired by Jeff Jarrett, with like, you can see it with his move set. He does the stroke as one of his, you know, main moves. A lot of Jeff Jarrett mannerisms. And I mean, the main thing, although I will say this is something that kind of deters me, from you'll kind of know what I mean if you ever watch him wrestle, his gear is like the old Jeff Jarrett. I don't know if you even call it. They look like multi-suspenders or something. It's like they connect from like his neck, like a collar around his neck down to his Trunks, and it just looks really, really, really outdated, and just doesn't look right to me. This is my personal opinion. I've actually talked to people, I won't name names and throw people under the bus, but I have talked to people within independent wrestling that say the same thing, that they're like, the only thing holding this guy back is that his gear looks kind of goofy, and I totally agree with that. I think Bailey Blake, once again, very talented kid. He's going to keep getting better and better, and I think he has a really bright future. But if I were him, I'd change that ring gear up. That's just my personal opinion. Also on the show, we had Nolan Edwards versus Jordan Oliver. This match ruled. If you watch anything on this show, which, you know, I recommend you watch the whole show, but this would be like the main thing to watch if you know, I'm giving my opinion on that. I would say Nolan Edwards versus Jordan Oliver. Like, go out of your way to watch it. Two, just guys that are just the future of wrestling. Whether it's on the independents or wherever they wind up, these two guys are just incredible. I talk about Nolan Edwards quite a bit. I shouldn't say that. Nolan Edward. He'll kill me throwing that S on the end. Nolan Edward, super, super talented guy that I know already has eyes on him from big companies. We'll just put it that way. He very, very quickly has become a very highly sought after prospect. I'll put it that way. And Jordan Oliver's in that same boat too. Just another guy who's just getting better and better. Every time I watch him wrestle, it's just really, really damn good. And you just know that both these guys are going to be, if they can both stay healthy, because they do some crazy stuff. I mean, but if they can both stay healthy, and this isn't me trying to jinx them, of course, but like if they can stay healthy, these two guys are some, you know, to definitely watch going forward in the next few years in independent wrestling and mainstream wrestling for that matter. We're in this crazy, awesome time in wrestling where, like, these independent wrestlers are getting so good so quickly that the next thing you know, like, now, sometimes it can work against them too, right? Like, you know, you never want people to kind of get signed before they're ready, but you also want to see people get signed, you know, for their own benefit, because that's a good way to make a lot of money and get a lot of exposure. And we have all these options now, like AEW and, of course, NXT, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, even, you know, New Japan and stuff. A little more limited because of, you know, the circumstances with the pandemic and all, of course. But that all being said, there are just so many great options right now. And I just quickly want to mention as well, because I didn't at the top of the show, AEW, I think, put on the best tribute show I've ever seen in wrestling history. And we don't really cover AEW here on the show outside of being the Elite. But I do need to definitely mention that. I mean, I thought that was incredibly well done. The entire show from top to bottom. I would highly, highly, highly recommend watching that show if you haven't for some reason. Just an incredible night and an incredible tribute to Brody Lee. I thought it was just so well done. And yeah, moving on this show, some other honorable mentions. Jaden Newman, I talk about him all the time. He took on Kenzie Page. Jaden just keeps getting better and better as well. He's still in his early 20s. He's the booker and promoter at TWE already, you know, at such a young age, and he's getting so much better in the ring every time I see him as a character. His confidence is growing, and he's another guy who, you know, he's ready right now to a degree, but he's someone who will get it. I think he'll really get a big opportunity at some point in the next couple of years, and I think he'll really be able to show the world what he can do. Sean Christopher and Kevin Ryan, I'm a fan of both these guys, especially Kevin Ryan. I've really become a big fan of his, really more so lately. He's a guy who's been around a lot longer than I realized when I first started really paying attention. I think he's been around for over a decade, but he's just now kind of putting it all together. And I did an interview with Matt Griffin, who is the promoter for Action Wrestling, where Kevin Ryan has done a lot of stuff. And Matt basically told me, like, you know, it's just a matter of him kind of being around the right people and getting the right advice. And that it looks like that's what he's doing right now. And I don't want to disrespect anyone who, you know, who may listen to this that has, you know, helped out Kevin up to this point, because I'm just, you know, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just saying what someone who would know much better than me was telling me. But it's really, something's definitely clicked lately with Kevin Ryan that wasn't clicking before. And he's another guy to definitely, you know, keep your eyes on. And some other people I'll mention here. Derek Neal, of course, you know, one of the main guys at New South Wrestling, the current champion, been doing great stuff, along with Adam Priest and Stephen Michaels. I think the Cordage is a really good faction. I think all three guys are very talented. And on the other side, I won't spoil who the mystery partner was, but Donnie Janela, doing the best work of his career right now, in my opinion. He's taken a gimmick that was basically a ripoff of Joey Janela, like a tongue-in-cheek ripoff cousin kind of thing, and he's kind of made it his own to where, you know, you still think Joey Janela when you see it, but you also think Donnie Janela. Like, it's more than just being, like, a parody, you know, and if that makes sense. And All Beef Tyler Franks, this kid, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be, like, right around 20 or so. I don't know. He looks very young, but I know he's been one half of the Talladega Knights, a tag team in New South Wrestling. And Franks is the current number one contender for Derek Neal's New South Championship. And that match should be coming up pretty soon for the title. And I think it's going to be great. Like, I don't know if Tyler Franks is going to be, you know, the one to dethrone Neal. Although we did see Donnie Janela, you know, briefly get that title from Derek Neal after the long, incredible run that Cabana Man Dan had with it, who's one of my favorite indie wrestlers in the world right now. A lot of great stuff going on in New South, so much good talent. And Tyler Franks is someone who you can tell that they're really, I think right now is like a, this is just me, just, you know, I don't know anything on the inside when it comes to this, but just my personal opinion, I feel like this is like a test run for Tyler Franks as a singles guy. Like, you know, but see how he does against Derek Neal. I don't expect him to win the title, although if he did, it would be very interesting. But I think the idea here is, let's see how Tyler Franks does on his own. And he gets a great reaction from the audience. He's very over at New South, in that Alabama area. So, I mean, just really good stuff. Really good show. Just a ton of great talent from top to bottom on this one. So, highly recommend checking this out. Once again, this was New South Pro Wrestling's The Dump Sanders Holiday Special. It's available right now on independentwrestling.tv. Moving on, we have results for MLW Fusion. Now, once again, the show happened on the 23rd, but I waited till today to give the results for this, in case you've missed it up to this point with, you know, all the Brody Lee stuff in the end of the year awards on the last podcast. I didn't go over the results for MLW, which I'm going to do right now. Only two matches. One of them was basically a squash. The Dirty Blondes over Ariel Dominguez and Daniel Starling. Basically happened with a avalanche power slam for the pin. And we got some, you know, some good stuff. Some stuff that really is building towards Kings of Coliseum, which I'll give my predictions for in here in just a second. But as far as this episode of Fusion, the only other match we had, which was the main event, the 2020 Opera Cup Finals. It was Filthy Tom Lawler defeating Loki in a hell of a matchup. Just really, really great stuff between these two. One of my favorite matches of the year, to be honest, like Evolve 2020. This was up there for me. Just hard hitting action from start to finish. Just all types of wrestling, especially like that hard hitting style that both guys are known for. Of course, Filthy Tom Lawler is always going to be credible when it comes to that with his UFC background. And you're going to have, you know, Loki, who's been around the independent scene for at least two decades at this point. Like, I remember really starting to pay attention to him. I think I first saw him in, well, actually, I think I first saw him in, like, WWE, like, doing, like, enhancement work. I could be wrong about that. But he really was doing great stuff in TNA wrestling. And then I think I realized around that same time that he was also killing it in Ring of Honor, and that's part of what like got me interested in Ring of Honor, if I remember kind of that timeline correctly. So Loki has been doing this forever, and he had that brief run as Caval in the WWE, and that didn't work out for whatever reason, and that was very short term. But all that being said, you know, where both these guys wound up, you know, at the end of 2020, pretty damn good spots being in Major League Wrestling, which in my opinion is like, it's way up there. It's one of, if not the place to be for independent wrestlers. If you, you know, want to get signed and, you know, make some decent money and get some decent, you know, size exposure and stuff. And I know for sure that major companies have their eyes locked in on what's going on in MLW right now. So, you know, this is all great stuff. Two guys who totally deserve this position, an incredibly great match, hard hitting. And the finish was very unique because personally, I liked the finish. I could understand others maybe not, but this really, it resembled a fight so much to me that this totally worked. Because I'm going to try to explain what happened, but basically, Loki is beating up Tom Lawler towards the end, and Lawler's, like, perched up in the, like, against the turnbuckle, so he's standing straight up in the turnbuckles, and Loki comes running running right at him. And he does the, I don't know what he calls the kick, but it's like the rolling... In MMA, it's called a rolling thunder kick, basically, but in pro wrestling, a rolling thunder is something Rob Van Dam did, which is totally different. So to try to avoid confusion, it's basically like a... It was like a somersault kick to the face. And Loki hits the kick and lands on his back, because that's how you would land after a kick like that. And Lawler fell over. Like, he gets, like, knocked out by the kick, basically, but fell straight on top of Loki. And because Loki's legs were up, because he had just delivered the kick and his legs were up in the air, Lawler just stacked Loki with the pin. And it was, like, totally believable. And Loki was so beat up as well that it all made sense. I thought it was really well done. And I like seeing Tom Lawler get the win and get the Opera Cup. And I like seeing Dominic Guarini, who is... I've talked about it all the time here on this show. Dominic Guarini is basically the number one wrestler in my household at any level, according to, you know, my family members that watch this stuff along with me. Dominic Guarini is like the indie wrestling god right now for all the work he's doing, popping up in every promotion. And it's great to see. And same with Kevin Koo. You just see Guarini on his own a little more often. But to see Guarini and Kevin Koo holding up Filthy Tom Lawler, where Lawler is, you know, celebrating with that Opera Cup, really good stuff. I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, MLW, great way to end the year. Their resurgence was really well done. You know, them along with so many other companies had to take time off because of the pandemic, and they came back, and the future looks brighter than it ever has. They have a great roster of talent, and they have some other guys that are, like, actually quite a few that I'll talk about from some of these other shows that I'll review, but they have just a super stacked roster, and it's just, it feels great, too, to see Tom Lawler at this point in his career right now, because for those of you who don't know, this is just my personal opinion, he was one of, like, the most screwed over fighters ever when he was contracted to the UFC. To make a long story short, he basically failed a drug test for a minuscule amount of something to where, like, it was, like, almost completely untraceable in just such a small amount that, like, it couldn't have possibly affected anything. And it's very similar to the same thing that John Jones, if you ever follow MMA and you hear about the John Jones picogram situation, where they talk about how if you took a pinch of salt and threw it into an Olympic-sized swimming pool, that's about the amount of whatever the banned substance was that was in John Jones's system. And because of the favoritism and John Jones being, like, the biggest star in the company outside of, like, Conor McGregor, you had the UFC basically, they figured out a way between them and the commissions and USADA and all that to where John Jones is just able to fight with that. Filthy Tom Lawler, on the other hand, same situation, except in his case, he wound up getting, I believe it was a 2-year-long suspension, and they made him sit out the full 2 years, so he missed out of 2 years of his prime. He was a top 10 ranked light heavyweight when this all happened, like, great fighter with title potential. And then the next thing you know, he's out for 2 full years, and then he becomes eligible again because he waited for the full 2 years, and then the UFC fired him. So, like, instead of just cutting him 2 years prior, they strung him along, honey-dicked him, or whatever you want to call it, and just had him, you know, sitting there for 2 years, not allowed to do anything. And then when he was able to fight again, they just fired him. And it was like, okay, like, you just took 2 years from this guy's career for no reason, and just basically, once again, just let John Jones just fight with this. Like it was no big deal. So Lawler got really screwed over in that situation, in my opinion. And it's great to see just a few years later that he's one of the top stars of all of independent wrestling. And I could very well see him wrestling in NXT or AEW or somewhere else. I mean, we've seen the trajectory that Matt Riddle went on, and there's a lot of parallels there between the two guys. Another guy that I think got completely screwed over for different reasons. Matt Riddle's reasons, just for the record, were he kept failing marijuana tests. And now, if he was to fail for the same amount that was in his system, I don't think he would even gotten fined. Like, they've changed the rules so much over the years about how much THC you can have in your system when you fight, depending on the state that you're in, that Riddle's situation just, like, wouldn't even be happening now. But he lost his job, and he was on, like, a 6-fight winning streak or something when he got fired. So, just, yeah, it's good to see guys like Filthy Tom Lawler, you know, kind of overcome it all. found a new career path, obviously transitioned from mixed martial arts over into professional wrestling, and did it pretty seamlessly. Like, he's done really great stuff. So, shout out to Tom Lawlor for winning the Opera Cup, and also a massive shout out to Major League Wrestling for everything that they're doing. Speaking of MLW and the upcoming show Kings of Coliseum, this is going to be coming up on the 6th of January, so just 3 days from the time of this recording. Great show coming up. Really nice card. So we have the Von Erichs, the team of Marshall and Ross Von Erich, taking on the Dirty Blondes, the team of Leo Breen and Michael Patrick. That's going to be a Texas Tornado match, which of course, and that's going to be for the MLW tag team titles. I feel like that has to favor the Von Erichs, right? I mean, the Von Erich family is like the most legendary wrestling family to ever come out of Texas. This is a Texas Tornado match, which is my favorite type of tag team match, to be honest. Like, I love tag team wrestling, and the Tornado tag matches are my favorite because it's everyone, there's no tags. Everyone in the ring, first to get pinned or submitted, that's it. And I think it's a really cool dynamic, and I really like that match type. I feel like we don't see it often enough. I think that's mainly because, you know, when we see, you know, triple threat matches and fatal four ways and stuff like that, a lot of the time, you know, two of the wrestlers or one of the wrestlers or whatever the case is, depending on how many people are in the match, a lot of the time people are kind of outside the ring, and it's usually more of a one-on-one thing most of the time in the ring. And I think that's why we don't see as many matches like this. But if done the right way, I think this stuff can be done really, really well and be really entertaining. A lot of options with so many people in the ring and all that. So I'm looking forward to that match, and my prediction is going to be the Von Erichs to retain the tag team titles. After that, we got Jordan Oliver, who I was just talking about as a part of the New South match he had with Nolan Edward, taking on Simon Gotch, who used to be in the WWE. You probably remember him under the same name, Simon Gotch. Did some stuff as Simon Grimm on the Indies after leaving the WWE. And if you remember him from his days in the Vaudevillains and all that stuff, he's always been a good worker. And him and Jordan Oliver, I think, is going to be really interesting. This is labeled as a grudge match, and the two of them have been feuding pretty heavily, as we've been talking about here on the weekend or each week when we talk about MLW. In my opinion, I think Jordan Oliver should win this one. I would push him kind of as much as possible. I think that Gotch is good. He's solid for what he does, but I don't think he's like the future of your company. I think someone like Jordan Oliver very well could be a future MLW national champion or an MLW world champion or the middleweight champion. Or so I see MLW gold in Jordan Oliver's future very soon. And I think that he should get the win because of that. I think it's going to be a good match. I think that match is going to be better than what people even expect. I think it's going to be really good. After that, another really good one. Alexander Hammerstone defending the MLW National Openweight Championship against Mads Kruger. They've done a really good job of pushing Kruger as, you know, just a completely unstoppable force. Alexander Hammerstone, in my opinion, is kind of like he's kind of like the face of MLW right now. Like, he's the first, to be honest, when I think of MLW, the first names that pop up in my head are Alexander Hammerstone, Filthy Tom Lawlor, and Calvin Tankman, because Calvin Tankman is, you know, I think Calvin Tankman is like the future of pro wrestling. I think that with that guy's size and his ability, his strength, the high flying stuff he can do, he gets over in every situation ever, like with the crowd. And no matter where he wrestles, the crowd pays attention and cheers or boos or whatever. Like, I think Tankman's just the man, and his career has already been pretty darn good, but I feel like it hasn't even really started yet. But that being said, Alexander Hammerstone is in really good company, being, you know, grouped in with those kind of people. And also think of others like Myron Reed's another one. There's a lot of just awesome talent in this company. And I think this is going to be hard hitting. It's two big guys that are going to, I mean, they're going to be going for it. And I think that Alexander Hammerstone should retain here. The only reason Hammerstone should lose is if he's going to be going for, going for the title soon. If he's going to be going after, and also, geez, Jacob Fatu, he's on my list too. There's so much talent that I'm forgetting, like, even the champion when I list this stuff out, which is crazy. But I could see Alexander Hammerstone going after Jacob Fatu soon. Now I'm not a huge fan of like losing titles and then getting a shot at a better title. So I'd actually prefer if Hammerstone held on to this. And if we get Hammerstone versus Jacob Fatu, I'd like to see it title for title and maybe even a unification. Cause the one knock I have on MLW, which isn't really much of a knock, it's just kind of a personal preference. I think they might have, you know, maybe one or two too many titles. Just personal opinion. Now, does it hurt the show? No, it doesn't. Not at all. Especially because the people that hold the titles are so good. Like, Hammerstone's awesome, and I'll be talking about Myron Reed here in a second. Then, of course, Jacob Fatu, who I just talked about, one of the best workers in the entire world right now. And, you know, the Von Erichs of the tag title, tag holders. I mean, there's the people who are the champions deserve the belts, and I think that that's great. But I could also do without a couple of the belts, too. Just, once again, just personal preference. But I'm going to say this is a good match. Hard-hitting. I expect some kind of big moments and big moves in this one. But at the end of the day, I got to go with Alexander Hammerstone to retain the title. And in the main event, we have Myron Reed defending the MLW Middleweight Championship against Lio Rush. I think this will be the match of the night. This is going to be like an early candidate for 2021 match of the year, I think. I mean, this really just two of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world. Lio Rush, I wouldn't even argue. If someone were to say, like, Lio Rush is the best in-ring wrestler in the world right now, I wouldn't argue it. You know, there are other people I think should be mentioned, but I think Lio Rush is, if you're looking at strictly in the ring, like, his wrestling ability and how insanely entertaining his matches are, he's up there against, you know, anyone in the world. I think he's that damn good. And Myron Reed's a guy who's not far behind. He's right there as well, and I've watched him for years now. The first time I saw Myron Reed wrestle was probably like 3 years ago at a Glory Pro show in the St. Louis area. I got to meet him. My friend Mouse, aka Robert Bellamy, who is, in my opinion, the best wrestling photographer in the world for any company, whether it be independence or anywhere else. I think he is the best wrestling photographer there is at getting action shots and getting like the promo pictures and stuff for people. Mouse is actually the one who introduced me to Myron Reed. He walked me right up to him after a show and was like, "Hey man, you got to talk to Myron. Like, this guy's the future." And I started talking to him, and he's got a great head on his shoulders, and he just keeps getting better. Like, this guy is so damn good. Myron Reed's actually, now I don't know what the contract status is like for some of these guys when they sign with MLW and in other places, but Myron Reed is one of the guys that it's like pretty shocking to me that he hasn't been signed by AEW or WWE, but for those exact reasons, like there might be something that's preventing him from signing somewhere right now. But I have to imagine when he's available to sign somewhere, he's got to be on the top of the list for people. You know, I talk about that indie wrestling totem pole so often, where I'm always mentioning guys like Mance Warner and Matthew Justice and AJ Gray and those kind of guys. And this is my bad. I should be mentioning Myron Reed in that same breath every time. Myron Reed is on that level, and he is someone that I overlook pretty often. I think because I tend to kind of overlook MLW guys, maybe because they are signed to a degree, and it's kind of like the super indie right now. Like MLW, and I guess you can kind of put GCW in the same boat as the independent promotions that I think probably get the most attention, have the biggest audience, and could probably make the most money as a wrestler from, you know, as far as like, you know, individual shows and stuff. So yeah, so I really should be talking about Myron Reed more often here on the show. That's my bad, but he's one of those guys that's like so good that, you know, and this is just my personal opinion, and this isn't to downplay anyone else. This is to give props to Myron Reed. If guys like Ben Carter are getting signed, and there's like all this interest right now with Blake Christian, you know, Ben Carter got signed to NXT UK, Alex Zane got signed to the, you know, he's at the Performance Center, the Rascals, these kind of guys. If those guys are getting signed, I think Myron Reed is just as good as those guys are. Like, Myron Reed should be just in that same conversation with everyone I just mentioned. So that all being said, whoever wins this match, it's just really hard to predict because I don't know how long Lio Rush is planning on working in MLW. I have no reason to believe it'll be short term. I just don't know. Same with Myron Reed for the same exact reasons. I'm going to say, because kind of just for the sake of, you know, I have the Von Erichs retaining and Hammerstone retaining, I'm going to say Lio Rush defeats Myron Reed to become the new MLW World Middleweight Champion. But that is a literal 50-50 coin flip. I'm totally fine with either guy having the title, and I'm fine with anything they want to do with either of them. I mean, it's just two of the absolute best workers in the entire world. And I'm really looking forward to that. I expect that to be match of the night and one of the best matches of the year, potentially. And we'd only be like 6 days into the year at that point. So a huge shout out to Myron Reed and Leo Rush. But I'm going to go ahead and take Leo for the win. Moving on, we have GCW results. They had two shows this past weekend on the 31st and on the 1st of the year. It was Good Riddance on the 31st. So up first, we had Trey Lamar defeating Levi Everett. We had One Called Manders defeating Ellis Taylor. Holodead over Willow Nightingale. Crazy Tough Enemies, which is the tag team of Joshua Bishop and Matthew Justice, defeating Iron Beast, the team of KTB and Shane Mercer. Oh, sorry, no, they didn't defeat them. It was a double pinfall. That's right. We had Treehouse Lee defeating Al Sabah. We had Atticus Koger defeating Elena Black. Lee Moriarty over Calvin Tankman. Schlack over Manders. Jordan Oliver over ACH. Blake Christian over Alley Cat, Chris Dickinson, Cole Radrick, Effie, and Mance Warner. And in the main event, we had G-Raver over Jimmy Lloyd. So much talent on this show. So the pre-show had the first three matches. So Trey Lamar over Levi Everett. These two guys are so good. Trey Lamar, everything I just said about Myron Reed and Alex Zane and Ben Carter and all those guys, I'll be saying the same thing about Trey Lamar in like half a year. Like, that's how good I think he is. Trey Lamar is the future of that style of wrestling for the indies, and I think that he's going to get signed real young. I really do. I think that Trey Lamar is going to just skyrocket right up to being a top name on the indies very soon, and I could totally see him, you know, doing more with MLW soon or you know, being signed to NXT or AEW or doing something with Impact. Well, actually, he's in the Genesis Super X Cup. That's right. For Impact, we'll be doing the preview or the prediction for that here at the end of the show. So yeah, I mean, that's a great sign. Trey Lamar popping up on Impact. Same with Blake Christian. I believe he's in that also. Yes, he is. He's in that too. So there's a. I mean, Trey Lamar, keep your eyes on him. Levi Everett's great, too. This guy does this Amish character, and he stays in character. I don't know if he actually is in real life, if he's like that, but even, like, outside the ring pictures I've seen, he's wearing, like, the same kind of stuff, and he's got a great gimmick. He really does. So this was really great stuff, and, you know, Trey Lamar with that win, I think it's the right move, but I like Levi a lot. He really presents something different. And also on that pre-show, I mentioned Manders over Ellis Taylor. What was so cool about this is Manders gets the win after a pretty damn good match and for like how short it was. And after the match, that's when Manders actually called out Schlack, who needed a replacement opponent. So Manders went double duty. So shout out to Manders. He's a guy where I won't, let me put it this way. I know that there is heavy interest from some big companies on Manders right now. He's a guy that I could see sticking around on the indies for a minute, but I also think I don't know. I got a feeling that he might be signed soon, and I'm not going to say where or when, but keep your eye on Manders. If he doesn't sign, I think it might be his decision. I'll just put it that way. And I know there's interest. Some more people I'll mention here in shout out. One of the coolest tag teams on the world right now. Crazy Tough Enemies. Obviously, the letters there, Crazy Tough Enemies, CTE, makes a lot of sense. Joshua Bishop and Matthew Justice, two of my favorite guys in the world. I talk about Joshua Bishop all the time, and I actually predicted in my award show last week that Joshua Bishop is like, he's the guy to watch in 2021 on the indies. I think he has the most potential of anybody in the world right now in any company of being a long-term main event level star for the next like 20 years. That's the highest praise I could give someone right now. Like, I think Matthew Justice, I think it's more likely that Matthew Justice winds up getting signed to a company sooner, but when Joshua Bishop's time comes, he is going to be like, if you've never seen him wrestle, like, he has the size, the look, the mindset, the aggression, the moves, the everything. I mean, like, he can do power moves. He'll literally jump off the roof of a building through tables and stuff, like, along with Matthew Justice. These two guys beat the ever-loving hell out of each other over the past year.
That's why their tag team name makes so much sense too. Outside of it being CTE, I mean, crazy tough enemies. That's legit. Like, the two of them have been enemies for, you know, a while now. And over the collective weekend, Joshua Bishop actually beat Matthew Justice for the AIW Heavyweight Championship in the main event of their show. And that was like a TLC match with like barbed wire, and they had an awesome Limp Bizkit My Way promo video that led into it and stuff. I'm such a big fan of them. And I'm also a big fan of Iron Beast, KTB and Shane Mercer. Shane Mercer in particular. Just, once again, just my personal opinion. I've seen KTB for a while. I think he's really good. Let me put it this way. I think KTB is better off in a tag team with someone like Shane Mercer than on his own. Just, once again, just my personal opinion. But Shane Mercer, I'm cool with whatever. I think the Iron Beast team is perfect for him, but I think Shane Mercer could also be a massive singles star. For those of you who haven't seen him, this guy literally does moves where he will be on like the middle rope and do a fallaway, like a backflip fallaway slam moonsault while he's holding his opponent, you know, off of the ropes and stuff. I mean, just stuff I've never seen before. These guys will do moves where they'll get on the top rope with people on their shoulders and do like diving Death Valley drivers like across the ring into the other turnbuckles and stuff. Like, so these four guys I am very, very high on, and this was an awesome match. And once again, it was a double pinfall, which I initially forgot, but that is what happened. And I fully expect to see this matchup again very soon. Some other people I want to shout out: Atticus Koger. He had Gregory Iron in his corner. I'm a big fan of both of these guys. I think Atticus could be a massive star one day. If he can stay healthy, and you know, I get a little worried with some of the deathmatch guys for obvious reasons. And Atticus Koger goes pretty far in some of these matches, but I feel like because his character is so strong, he doesn't really necessarily have to. I think it's fine for what he's doing now, but I could see Atticus Koger as a massive babyface, as weird as a lot of people might hear that, like, or think that sounds like. He's such a great slimy heel, especially with 404, Gregory Iron, RSP, and all those guys in that group. But I think underneath all that, Atticus Koger is going to be a really, really entertaining good guy, especially if he winds up being the one to dethrone RSP for the GCW title. I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I think a lot of people figure that Nick Gage will be the one to dethrone RSP, but personally, I'd like to see Atticus Koger do it, and Gregory Iron is just the best. The guy who went from the handicap hero, you know, this guy with, you know, cerebral palsy, and, you know, he's just the most likable guy that you just want to cheer, and he's just the slimiest, just most despicable heel in the world, and I think the dynamic is really, really well done. We had Lee Moriarty versus Calvin Tankman on this show, two of the best wrestlers in the world. I just talked about Calvin Tankman being, like, the future of all of wrestling, and Lee Moriarty is that as well for a totally different reason. Calvin Tankman is that because he's a huge guy who does cool power moves. His finishing move, like that, it's like the Rikishi driver type thing he does, and, you know, the moonsaults he can do and all that stuff. That's what makes Calvin Tankman so unique, and why I'm so high on him as a prospect. Lee Moriarty is the exact opposite. He is a highly sought after prospect because his technical wrestling is so good. And there's very few people doing what he does out there. The only person that is really comparable on the indies right now would be someone like, maybe someone like Daniel McCabe. The two of them had a really good match at the sub show over the collective weekend, and McCabe got the win there. And Lee Moriarty is a guy that I know there's heavy interest in Impact. There's heavy interest for Ring of Honor. I sound like a broken record because I talk about him so often on this show, but for newer listeners, I mean, Lee Moriarty fits like a glove for the foundation in Ring of Honor. Just that whole pure championship and concept and stuff. I think Moriarty is just going to be, he can go to any company and he will be successful because he has a style that no one else really does. And he's so good at it that people want to watch it and people are constantly talking about it. So huge shout out to both of those guys. Those are two of the top prospects, in my opinion, in all of wrestling right now, or Lee Moriarty and Calvin Tankman. We had Schlack and Manders. This was cool. It was cool to see Manders kind of out of his element a little bit, doing more of the deathmatch type stuff. And, you know, him being a part of the second gear crew, along with guys like Mance Warner and Matthew Justice and Effie, they got just a really cool stable of guys and all good stuff. Jordan Oliver and ACH is as incredible as you would expect it to be, two of the best wrestlers in the entire world. I've talked quite a bit about Jordan Oliver already today, but ACH, you know, I think everyone already knows at this point, you know, ACH is just an incredible talent and a guy that it's sad that it turned out the way that it did between him and the WWE. And I don't know, I mean, I don't know exactly who to blame exactly for all that stuff either. Like, I you know what I mean? That was such a just weird situation with that t-shirt and all that stuff. And the way that Jordan Miles at the time, you know, ACH, the way he reacted to it publicly was strange, but the WWE doing it to begin with was strange. So it was like this really weird, scenario. And it's great to see ACH is killing it on the indies again. Blake Christian, you know, everyone in this match, Blake Christian, Alley Cat, Dickinson, Radrick, Effie, Mance Warner. These are six of the best wrestlers on the indies right now. I talk about Mance Warner all the time. I think he's the most ready right now to main event in any company out of like anyone on the indies. You could take Mance Warner, put him in Impact Wrestling, put him in AEW, put him in NXT, you put him even in like New Japan or something. It doesn't really matter. His character is so unique. His moveset's so good that you just, you know, he's just a guy who just gets over everywhere. And he's willing to do deathmatch wrestling, but can also have good technical matches and stuff. You know, just his character work and everything. He checks every single box you would want out of a wrestler in 2020 and or 2021 now. And so Mance Warner being in this was awesome. Effie, a guy who just, every time I see him, I like him a little bit more. And I've liked him for a long time. And I think it's cool how he kind of stays so true to his gimmick and character and who he is as a person and has made just a really great career for himself. And it'll be interesting to see kind of where his career goes, because he's going to be at kind of a crossroads, I think, soon, where he's going to hit a level in independent wrestling where you would expect someone of his stature on the indies to probably get signed sometime soon from a larger company. But because of his gimmick and some of the stuff he's done in the past that is recorded, I don't know. And it's kind of a touchy subject, but it's one of these things where, like, I think that him being an openly gay wrestler or queer wrestler, however exactly he categorizes it, there's nothing wrong with that side of it at all. But if you go back and watch some of the matches he's had, and I don't want to like steer people certain directions, but there are some things he's done in some wrestling matches that I think companies might look at and be like, I don't know if we want that on our show. You know what I mean? Like it's an interesting one. He's definitely over. Like he's definitely over. He has good matches. He has a large audience. But part of what makes him so much of who he is on the indies, I don't know how that looks on a mainstream show or if someone running a mainstream show is going to want to take those kind of risks. I'm not saying this is good or bad, right or wrong. It's just kind of me thinking out loud because he definitely has the talent to hit that next level, but is the gimmick going to work on the next level? I don't know. Because we have seen similar type gimmicks before really not work out well on mainstream shows. Cole Radrick, guy who just keeps getting better and better and better, basically like the heart and soul of indie wrestling right now. Just a guy who he doesn't look like anything special. He's small, and I talk about it all the time, but every time he wrestles, it's a good match. The crowd's into it. He works everywhere, and Cole is someone to keep your eyes on. He is the overachiever of the century in independent wrestling for me. So him and like Marco Stunt, someone like that, you know, these smaller guys who just look very unassuming, but then they go out there and just do incredible work. Chris Dickinson, he's on that same part of the indie totem pole as I was talking about before. He's on that same level as guys like Blake Christian, Mance Warner, Matthew Justice, AJ Gray, all those guys I talked about before. Dickinson's right there. Alley Cat is as well, especially on the female side. She does a lot of intergender wrestling, which obviously, you know, the match I'm talking about right here is that. And I think, she's another one where I feel like she should really get signed soon. Like, there are companies that could really use more high-level female talent, and Alley Cat's ready to go. So I really think 2021 is going to be a big year for her. And Blake Christian, I mean, we'll be talking about him in a minute with my Genesis predictions, but he's another guy where you see him popping up in the New Japan Cup, you see him popping up in Impact for this X Division Cup, but he doesn't seem to really be locked in, signed, sealed, and delivered with any of these companies. I think things are going to get really, really, really interesting. I know a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes. I'm not going to say because I don't want to, you know, destroy my sources, but let me put it this way. You're going to be seeing a lot of Blake Christian in 2021. And yeah, so I mean, those are the people I want to highlight on this show. Just incredible show, incredible talent. And that, you know, can be said as well for the next show that GCW ran, which was the next night. We had 56 nights, the name of the show. Obviously I've really deep dived into pretty much all the talent on the show already from the show I just mentioned, but these are the results for 56 nights. We had Jordan Oliver over Trey Lamar. Once again, this is just like a battle of two of the top prospects in all of indie wrestling right now. We had Ken Broadway over ACH, huge win for Broadway. Dickinson over Cole Radrick. Once again, two guys that I think are incredible. Crazy Tough Enemies defeating Alley Cat and Effie. So once again, talked about all of them from the previous show. Really, really talented. And I like seeing CTE get the win here because there's a lot they can do with that tag team. Like I prefer them both as singles wrestlers, but the tag team dynamic between those two is very interesting to me. We had Iron Beast, the team of KTB and Shane Mercer, defeating Manders and Charlie Tiger, and Aleah Black and Ellis Taylor, and also the team of Levi Everett and Steve Scott. We had Mance Warner defeating Calvin Tankman, and once again, I mean, just that's a matchup. Like, I feel like depending on where they wind up, if they wind up in different companies, then there's that. But if Mance Warner and Calvin Tankman both wound up in the same company like a year from now, that's a match we're going to see a lot of, I think, because it just such a great dynamic. Blake Christian defeated Lee Moriarty. Hell of a match. Just once again, you take these two guys, put them on any show in the world right now, and they're both ready to go. And the main event, there was a death match where Alex Cologne defeated Atticus Koger, who had Gregory Iron in his corner. And this match was brutal, as you would expect an Alex Cologne match to be. He's pretty much the king of death matches right now, as far as I'm concerned. Most of the major death match tournaments and a lot of the GCW stuff that's been going on over the last year, Alex Cologne's like really been highlighted as that guy. And so huge props to him for that. He's really killing it in that world. And Atticus Koger, I already talked about, a guy who I really think is going to be like one of the top baby faces in all of wrestling at some point in the next couple of years. Once again, as crazy as that might sound, because he's such a great heel. Moving on, we got results for 205 Live. Show started off with Mansoor defeating Jake Atlas. Got the win when he hit a dragon screw into a pin for a 1-2-3. Mansoor just keeps getting the job done, undefeated on 205 Live, and, you know, they're very, very high on him, clearly, and I'm okay with that. He's another guy who keeps getting better, and he's like a learning-on-the-job type guy. Like, he was in the PC for a long time, he, you know, was a part of the NXT system, started getting some opportunities when they do the Saudi Arabia shows, and everyone kind of figured, you know, painted that more as like a homer pick, right? Because it was like, Mansoor was a totally unknown entity within, like, the WWE universe, but he was always winning these huge matches on the Saudi shows, and it's nice to see that he's more than just like the Saudi guy. Like, he's just a really good wrestler who's doing great stuff on 205 Live, and I think the company has some really big plans for him, and he's doing great work. And the only other match we had on this show was a six-man tag match that was really well done. Kurt Stallion and Ever-Rise defeated the Bollywood Boys and Arya Daivari. The finish was pretty cool, where Ever-Rise, I can't remember who they had. I can't remember who was the victim of this move, but I remember like the Bollywood Boys Ever-Rise picked up, did the lift. It was like a double flapjack. They each had a leg lifted up, hung up on the top rope, kind of into the neck. And when they bounced off, Kurt Stallion ran up and did his diving headbutt, like shoulder block diving headbutt thing. that on the indies, he called Ode to Luigi. I believe it's from Super Smash Brothers, but it's a reference to Luigi from like Mario. I have not heard them use the name for that move on 205 Live. If they have, feel free to correct me, but I don't think I've heard them say that yet. So I don't know what they're calling it, but I guess they're just calling it like a running diving headbutt or a tackling headbutt. I'm not sure, but running headbutt, we'll call it. And Curt Stallion gets another win, keeps building momentum, and he's the next challenger for Santos Escobar's 205 Live Cruiserweight Championship, or NXT Cruiserweight Championship, technically. So I'm really looking forward to that match. I think that Everrise has been doing really good work lately. Bollywood Boys and Ari Daivari are always solid at what they do, and Curt Stallion is a potential, you know, face of 205 Live, or, you know, whatever this show kind of becomes over time, because, I mean, I'm just waiting for it, but I feel like this is just me personally. I think they should rebrand 205 Live, call it something different. You can call it Evolve for all I care, you know, call it whatever. But that's like, now that's like the NXT to NXT pretty much is how it feels. And I'm down for it. I think there's a good opportunity there for kind of lesser known guys. So like, for instance, Curt Stallion, I think it's working out perfect for him on 205 Live. I could see them putting someone like Alex Zane in 205 Live, the Rascals in 205 Live, all that kind of stuff. Some of the other people that I've heard that they're going to be signing would fit into that group as well. So, you know, more good stuff from 205 Live this week, and a huge shout out to Curt Stallion. Up next, we have Ring of Honor results. These will be quick. We had Dante Calabero and Joe Keys defeating Eric Martin and Ken Dixon. And the only other match we had was Team Jay Briscoe, which was Jay Briscoe, Flip Gordon, Brian Milanes, John Walters, and PCO defeating Team Mark Briscoe, which was Mark Briscoe, Beer City Bruiser, Dak Draper, Hot Sauce Tracy Williams, and Dalton Castle. A lot of good talent in these matches. Decent show, but just not a whole lot of consequence there. Just keeping it real. This was kind of a show to just kind of hold us over until the next big Ring of Honor show and you know, all those big feuds and stuff. But what I will say, once again, shout out to Ring of Honor for what they're doing with the foundation, in particular Jonathan Gresham and all those guys. I mean, just a lot of good stuff going on, and I'm interested to see what they do with Roosh as the champion going forward, because I feel like, this is just me personally, I feel like the Pure Championship and the stuff like Gresham and Lethal and Rhett Titus and Tracy Williams and all those guys are doing, I think that's all overshadowing the World Championship that Roosh holds. Once again, just my personal opinion. And lastly, today we have predictions for Impact Wrestling's Genesis. I'm going to give you my predictions right now. We talked about a lot of these talents already. Let's see what we got here. So we have basically how this show is going to work. We have Super X Cup tournament semifinals. Sorry, first round matches, then semifinals, and then the tournament finals. And the way that it works is it's 1, 2, 3, 4 first round matches. The winner of those matches, basically, without seeing this, it's hard because I'm trying to speak something that I'm looking at, like this tournament bracket, but we'll just go through this like this. So in the first round, we have Ace Austin versus Suicide, Daivari versus Cousin Jake, Crazy Steve versus Trey Lamar, Casey Navarro versus Blake Christian. The next round, the winner of Ace Austin and Suicide will take on the winner of Daivari and Cousin Jake. And also in the semis, we're going to have the winner of Crazy Steve and Trey Lamar taking on the winner of Navarro and Blake Christian. And then that'll make up who the finals are going to be. So my predictions, I'm going to say that Ace Austin defeats Suicide, even though Suicide is currently the X Division champion, but I'm okay with that prediction. I think Ace Austin should win, and I'm going to take Ace Austin. Daivari and Cousin Jake, this is an interesting one because Cousin Jake doesn't really so much fit the X Division kind of style, but I'm a big fan of his. Him as Jake something on the indies in particular has done really, really great work over the years. Big fan of his. And I might be a little biased here. I'm going to take Cousin Jake. Daivari, though, is in the best shape of his life, and he's doing the best work of his career, so huge props to Daivari, but I'll take Cousin Jake. Crazy Steve and Trey Lamar. I'm going to take Trey Lamar. I think this is a really big opportunity for him to get a lot of eyes on him. Crazy Steve doesn't need this. He's been in the company for a long time now, kind of quietly almost. And not quite, he's been featured on the show, but like I didn't realize it's been like at least 6 years or so since he's been in the company. And, you know, I think Trey Lamar could potentially be a future, you know, massive star. Crazy Steve, I think, has kind of hit where he's going to hit as far as popularity goes. And I would give the win to Trey Lamar here. Casey Navarro and Blake Christian. I got to go with Blake Christian for very similar reasons to Trey Lamar. This should be a showcase for a guy like Blake Christian. So in the next round, we would have Ace Austin taking on Cousin Jake. I would have Ace Austin win this one as well. You know, it could be a really good match. I like Cousin Jake a lot, like I've mentioned, but Ace Austin, I really think Ace Austin should have won the world championship at Slammiversary in that, I think it was like that 6-man match when Eric Young and Rich Swann both returned. But yeah, I'm going to take Ace Austin to make it to the finals. And I will take, man, Trey Lamar versus Blake Christian, I think will probably be the best match of the entire show if they do this. I'm going to take, oh man, this is tough because I feel like it's more likely that we see more of Trey Lamar in Impact Wrestling, and I feel like we're going to see Blake Christian going other places. So I'm still going to take Blake Christian, though. I think Blake Christian just, if I had to choose, I think Blake Christian just a little bit higher up. Like, you know, like if there was levels and, you know, I'd have Blake Christian as like an A+ and Trey Lamar as like a B+ or an A. You know what I mean? Like it's, I just think Blake Christian just a little bit better, you know, and I'm just going to go with him. So the finals would be Blake Christian versus Ace Austin, which is a tough one because it's totally possible that Ace Austin loses to Suicide in the first round and it completely busts my bracket here. But I'm going to say once again, because I don't know if Blake Christian sticks around, but I feel like Ace Austin is there for a while. I'm going to say Ace Austin wins it all, but personally speaking, I'd like to see Blake Christian win this entire thing. So my heart's pick is Blake Christian, who coincidentally, All Heart, Blake Christian, that's his gimmick, moniker, but if you will. But yeah, I'm going to say Ace Austin, but I feel like if they were going to do this stuff, they would have already kind of pulled the trigger with him in a lot of senses, and he's held the X Division Championship before and all, and I don't know if this really helps him. Oh man, it's tough. I'd like to see Blake Christian win the whole thing, though. I'm going to take Ace Austin, but I personally want to see Blake win it all. And the other match on the show we have is Willie Mack versus Moose in an I Quit match. The build for this has been really good. Although Moose has beat the ever-living hell out of Willie Mack a few times, but with it being an I Quit match, that's the whole idea, is Willie Mack kept losing because of referee stoppage, and then the time he beat Moose was because Moose beat him up so bad and he wouldn't stop after the match, and Willie Mack wound up winning by DQ and stuff. But I'm going to say this is tough because I don't think the TNA title's on the line in this one. So I'm going to say Willie Mack wins, but we have to get a rematch because I think ultimately what we need to see happen is Willie Mack beats Moose for the TNA championship, and then we get Willie Mack with the TNA title versus Rich Swann with the Impact Wrestling Championship. And that should be the unifier. Where personally, I'd like to see Willie Mack win the whole thing and become the Impact Wrestling champion. But there's a lot of steps before we could even see any of that. So we'll see where all this goes. I'm going to take Willie Mack over Moose in an I Quit match. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.